Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Understanding back pain is a really big problem, I would say, in our country and worldwide. And one tool that you can actually get to help to still move, build strength, and kind of avoid that back pain because it's just setting you up in a really good way within your body is a COPA board. And you've probably heard us talk about this before. You might have seen it on my Instagram, but this board really sets you in a really good position. So you're not going to put strain on your back muscles, but you're actually going to put more tension on your glutes. You're also going to put less tension on your knees. So if you're squatting, it's going to basically allow those legs to build up the strength to help support the back. So you're not having to think so much. You're not having to work so hard, and you can continue to move and build that strength around possibly having back pain. So I really, really recommend this board. You can get 15% off too. If you haven't checked it out yet, just use code OPTIMAL at checkout. We'll drop the link right in the show notes as well. So you can easily just go check out that link. Use code OPTIMAL, get 15% off your board, and grab yourself a COPA board you can store away at home and help your back pain. Do core exercises help my back pain? Or why might I feel back pain more when I do core exercises?
Your face. Everyone just needs to see your face that you just made.
I'm just getting into it, okay?
I feel it.
It's like the front of my first carousel.
Very dramatic.
You got to get into character.
But it is, because so many professionals, like, their opinion will just be, oh, you need to do more core. Mm-hmm. And then people will say, like, well, what the heck? When I do core, my back hurts. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And why do some people make that correlation in their mind? Okay, when I do core exercises, when I do planks, I get a lot of pain in my back. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the PT and they tell me to do more core.
Mm-hmm. I mean, where did this myth come from? And I'm going to say myth because we're going to debunk some of the things that you've been told maybe about why, oh, back hurts, do core exercises. Like, what the heck does core exercises even mean? Like, I think we need to start. Like, what is the core?
The six pack.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what a lot of people think. Oh, when I do core, I need to do more sit-ups, or I need to do...
Yeah.
And we've talked about this a ton. So if you're a regular listener, you know that that is not what the core is. The core goes first all the way from almost our neck down to our pelvis, down to our pelvic floor. And if we're talking about just that core canister, I like to view it as a little pop can where the top is your diaphragm that you breathe with. Your respiratory diaphragm, the bottom is your pelvic floor, your pelvic diaphragm. And then we have this amazing compilation kind of all of these muscles that go around the core, our transverse abdominis being the big corset that almost acts like the sides. But then the deepest layer, and then so many other muscles that kind of layer on top of that that make up this core, including our back muscles.
Yeah. So people talk about those four being like the deepest core muscles, which we're going to talk about as well. But like that, the diaphragm, pelvic floor, transverse, and multifidi, like that kind of makes up that inner canister thing. But then we also have the outer core, which does include the six-pack muscle then, right?
Yeah.
That is your rectus abdominis. But then we also have our obliques that kind of come into play as well. And then we also have our bigger back muscles, our rectus spinae that come into play. And then we also have...
The QL.
We also have all the way up to the shoulder blades. So the way that you control your scapular muscles around your shoulder blades plays a role.
All of our little intercostal muscles that basically help our ribs expand and depress with every breath.
And then if we go around the pelvis, like, yes, we talked about pelvic floor being the inner, but then around the pelvis, that helps to control the hips as well, is going to be our glutes. So it's like all of that actually is your core. So if someone is telling you to work your core in order to help your back, well, then you should be paying attention to the entire trunk and how it responds. And we're going to talk about that and then why you might feel back pain, right, while you're doing quote-unquote core exercises.
Totally. And that kind of points out one of the challenges in a lot of research that try to just associate weak core means back pain.
Yeah.
Because one, back pain is not specific at all.
No.
There's a whole category of back pain disorders that we just call non-specific low back pain. Like you'll see that a PT or a doctor writing that down. Oh, it's just non-specific low back pain. Well, we've talked about all the different things in the back, all the different joints in the vertebrae, the pelvis, the SI joint. Like there's so many things that can be contributing to this back pain. And what we just went through, there's so many different core muscles that we could be measuring. Well, is this one weak? Is this one weak? Are they all firing in concert, like they should be like a symphony, or does it sound more like a death metal band when we're trying to do, not that death metal's bad. I think death metal musicians are very, very talented. Technically some of the most talented musicians in the world, but that's just my musician brain thinking that.
Okay, so, getting off on tangents here.
Which is what this is all about, babe. Come on, we need to have some awesome analogies.
Okay, basically we're saying that low back pain is not, it can't be correlated to one specific origin. We can't say like, oh, you have back pain, you need to work on your core. That is an old theory that has been preached for a really long time. So it's ingrained a little bit in our brains, right? And that's what we think, that's what we know. But what we know to be true now is that one, the core means a lot of different things. It's not just stabilization and making you like only train in one position. Right. And we also know that there's a lot of different reasons why you could be having back pain, and it could have nothing to do with muscles or body position or posture. There's just no way that we can dilute back pain down to a single thing.
Because one study will try to say, oh, there's a correlation between awkward postures and back pain. And then the next study will say there's not. And then a lot of what we're seeing as a whole when we accumulate all this research together is that no, like different awkward postures does not like significantly correlate with people who have back pain, or for that matter, people who might be symptomatic versus asymptomatic. You don't necessarily always see extremely higher levels of core activation in those people who don't have back pain. So we can't just say, oh, it's weak, strengthen it. Oh, you know, you're in awkward positions, fix it and be in this position. Mm-hmm. That's not the case.
Yeah, there's just a lack of association. So that should honestly give you freedom. I know for a lot of people that's like, well, I thought, you know, if I just fix my posture, then it's going to make everything go away. And we're going to talk a lot about why that might not be the case and why you might need to look a little bit deeper or wider outside of our own physical body. But we also know that sometimes, like, you might go into the reason why you might feel better with going to a PT and doing core exercises is one, you have that expectation already like in your mind. If I get core exercises from my PT, my back pain's going to get better. So your expectation of going in, like, it might meet your expectation, which already gives you a positive outcome in terms of how you think you're going to feel. You're maybe you have a good relationship with your physical therapist.
Good rapport with your...
good rapport.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe they did something to you immediately, like they maybe cracked you or used some tool or modality on you that helped to relieve pain right away. And you got this neuro response that like decreased those symptoms. And so automatically you're like, oh, this is working for me.
Yeah. That belief is literally seen as one of the highest correlations to people actually getting better when they see a PT or a chiro or a provider. If you go in with the belief that it's going to help you, often your mind is so powerful that it's going to really influence you in that direction of feeling better. And I don't think that's a bad thing for providers, for PTs, for people to take advantage of. I do think that that provider then has a responsibility to help empower them to maintain that throughout life moving forward once they stop seeing the PT, because that's also a tool that providers will use to gain reliance from, you know, patients or clients on them and say, okay, well, when this comes back, you just come back and see me. Mm-hmm. Well, if we don't change the way that we were operating and living in life, likely we might go back and do that same thing that landed us in this situation in the first place.
Right, exactly. And so was it, you know, your relationship with your physical therapist? Was it the core exercises itself that helped the back pain? Was it just that you did something different than you were doing before, which created a different result? You know, there's we cannot just distill it down into one thing. And so that's basically what we're saying. We cannot say that core exercises is going to help your back pain. Might it play a role in your therapy or in your treatment or in the way you feel? Sure. But again, we need to get out of this idea of stabilization, core work. Core is the basis of everything.
Maybe
because
just
it's just not.
Sit on our back and do dead bugs all day long. Like, okay, there's benefit to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more, like strength training.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who are into the strength training side of things will love to hear this, but there's very, very good evidence that when you get people into a full body strength training program, a lot of that non-specific low back pain will go away.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helping them activate their core better? You betcha, to use my Minnesotan accent.
You betcha.
Because anytime we're going to be lifting weight and putting that under tension, yeah, we're going to need to stabilize more through our core. The thing that we also get with strength training is just this broad amount of other physiologic benefits,
mm-hmm.
both mentally, because you take somebody who has low back pain and you start getting them to deadlift weight off the ground and feel better doing it, man, that's going to spark something inside them to say, oh my gosh, I can bend down and pick something heavy up off the ground and feel okay doing it.
Yeah. And we kind of stress our nervous system every time we do heavier weight and we start to
Absolutely.
Load the system. Like sometimes it's not just that physical response that's happening. So especially, and you might have noticed this, like if you go and you all of a sudden start to lift a little bit heavier or you've taken a break off strength training and then you come back, the thing that might fatigue, you might feel a little like shaky and you're like, I haven't even done many reps or I haven't done much stuff. Well, we're putting a positive stress on that nervous system. So now it's going to be able to respond to other symptoms and stressors that we might get, which is pain related, stress related, a lot of other things. So that's where strength training and putting on more load onto your body can have that positive, good benefit of how your body adapts to stress in on its own. And I like also that one of the articles that we found in the research was saying that like, well, strength training was actually seen like when you did put it with core exercises, more specific core exercises, right? We did see actually better long-term benefits in chronic low back pain or changes in how you respond to that.
You know, to that point, there are research studies that have shown, yes, there is some correlation to just focusing on deep core training and alleviation of back symptoms. But again, deep core training can mean any of like 100 different things.
Breathing.
Breathing and just learning how to get some of that stabilization to segmental, you know, core activation where you might be doing some different moving. You might be doing even like a cat camel or a cat cow to learn how to kind of segmentally move different areas of your back and do that through core stabilization. You might even move into some dynamic deep core stabilization where there is more movement of body parts, or you get standing and then you're working on core stabilization. So again, there's all of these different categories that we can move into that will allow us to better learn how to motor control, you know, being able to coordinate all those different parts. You know, I was talking about the death metal band versus the concert. Like, what type of music are all your core muscles playing together?
Yeah. I mean, and so that's going into like the four different types of core that we can talk about, right? Which is like when we talk about balance. So even if we talk about just like standing on a single leg, closing your eyes, maybe your body is now having to recruit a lot more muscle activation than you might be used to. And so all of a sudden that is challenging the core in a way as well. So balance, not just laying on your back, but sitting up, moving on a Swiss ball or a physio ball. Like what responses do you get within your deeper core musculature from your entire trunk? Right. So that balance, that stability, so being able to do a bird dog without moving your trunk, being able to only move the limbs, doing a dead bug without moving the pelvis at all. So that's that stability. And then we also have that motor control. So does your deep transverse abdominis kick on before your hip flexors? right? And that's what a lot of people feel. They might do like a dead bug or some core exercises, and their hip flexors are the first thing to pop on. So, well, we're not working on that motor control then. Mm-hmm. And then that last one being that dynamic movement kind of stability. So it's like your core is not just sit-ups. Your core is not just laying on your back doing Pilates-type exercises, which I was the Pilates instructor. Believe me, love my Pilates-type supine exercises. However, we go across the board even in Pilates of what that means using the core.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you bring up a lot of good things about this motor control or this segmentation of movement where, like, for doing a bird dog, per se, like, a lot of people will say, like, oh, no, don't extend your back. Which that's the goal in a bird dog. Mm-hmm. Don't extend your low back while you're kicking your leg out. However, is that bad? To our first point, to say like how awkward and different positions aren't necessarily what's correlated with it, you know, and kind of deducing what we've looked at with all this research. For me, it's just the uncontrolled movement into those ranges. Like if you are standing and, you know, reaching up and you go into kind of an end range extension in your low back, like that is something that might be provoking. However, if you've done your bird dogs and if you're learning how to bring that core stability into more of that dynamic flow where, hey, now I reach overhead and I go into a little bit of back extension, but I'm supporting through it. Mm. That's where we might not feel as much pain, which is where they say you can't just correlate the position with the pain. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other factors going on.
Yeah. And that brings in the point, too, of like, well, gaining awareness of where you're moving within the core, right? Because if I'm only bending from my low back in one segment and creating like a hinge pattern in my spine, well, then I'm not utilizing my entire spine. I'm not utilizing, which if we know that the core encompasses everything from the shoulder blades to the pelvic floor, well, then I need to be able to coordinate my entire spine. I need to be able to use my entire spine. So again, like, where am I moving from? How can I create that movement to be more effective throughout the entirety of all of those segments? It's having that control. It's having that movement and freedom and flow from rotation, flexion, and extension, and then being able to also stabilize and control just, you know, with only moving my limbs and not moving in my trunk at all. So there's just so much that we can say here about what the core is. And I think what ultimately, you know, we've talked about so many times as well is, well, then why might I get back pain? And why, if it's not just my core that I need to strengthen, where could that back pain be coming from?
And I think we've touched on a few different areas of this, but a lot of research and just a lot of education on this is starting to steer into what we call this biopsychosocial model, where bio meaning body and the physiology going on there, psycho, of course, kind of talking about more our mental, emotional status, you know, different on the spectrums of depressive or anxieties or just stress in general, mm-hmm. and how that impacts the way we feel pain. And then also the social aspect, which, you know, I talked about fear avoidance with lifting stuff off the ground. You know, it's shown that the more that we have fear, the higher levels of pain we might have when we get into certain positions, rather than empowering ourselves to bend down and pick something up from the ground without fear or free of fear, which is tough to get to mm-hmm. at some times. And then the social aspect, maybe now bending down and picking stuff off the ground allows you to return to work or return to being a grandparent who can lift their grandkids off the ground.
And participating in community sports with your community and having better community aspect in that way.
Yeah.
That's where back pain, again, we can't just say, oh, do core exercises, change your posture, get strong. All of those play a role. 100% I like, yes, yeah. And take a look at your stressors. Take a look at what you're putting in your body. Take a look at who you have around you. Are they always so negative and kind of drawing you down? Or are they building you up? Are they supporting you? Do you have people that you feel like you can rely on? I mean, just being able to know that you can call someone in a time of need is part of this pain experience.
Yeah. And I think that it's funny when you look at the like conclusions of a lot of the research, a lot of it will say like, yeah, so we found that doing core exercises along with a targeted strength training program was better than strength training alone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, yeah. You added in another thing and you made it a little more specific to the person and mm-hmm. you found it was better, like shocker. So And with the biopsychosocial model, incorporating aspects of all, you know, areas of the biopsychosocial model are going to help people's low back pain more. Again, shocker. So yeah. I think we're learning that it's not just one thing. We need to incorporate aspects of all of these areas to best treat the individual when it comes to, does core exercises help or hurt my back pain?
Exactly. And then that's when we can start to, you know, dive into, okay, how do I start to address the core? Right? How do I start to incorporate this then into my programming? And that's where we go back to episode 11 of the Optimal Body Podcast. And we talked about the breath because the diaphragm is part of your core. If we don't know how to incorporate that into our, and we went over exercises in episode 11 as well that you can use that will incorporate the core, especially when we get into that deep breathing. So just starting there is somewhere that you can go and you start realizing like, oh, if I pay attention to my breath, I'm doing core exercises as I'm sitting at my desk. I'm doing core exercises as I'm, you know, driving in the car, sitting in traffic. Like, core can mean so many different things. And just starting at the breath, that's like an area that I really recommend just starting to address.
And again, knowing, like we talked about, low back pain is not specific and we can't really direct you into a way of understanding exactly what it might be going on with your core that is correlating with this or causing you to go into this area of low back pain. Exploring a lot of things is where we need to start. We need to be able to start with all four of those categories of deep core training. And that's kind of, you know, in the Optimal Body program, Jen has these core exercises that go core level 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it kind of goes in this progression of getting slightly more difficult. And then each month we work on kind of a different aspect of that. We work on laying on our back. We work on doing variations of planks. We work on different variations of seated or standing core. So all the way throughout, like, it helps you start to operate in all planes of motion at our core, which is rotation, extension, flexion, side bending, and how to control through all of that.
Exactly. And that's why it's like, I absolutely love that program and the way that it was designed, because it's not just, it teaches you how to really start from the breath, right? Yeah. And start at that inner core with the pelvic floor. And then how do we progress on there? Because I think a lot of people, when they think initially of core exercises, and this is where it usually turns into back pain immediately, is we go right to the higher level stuff. And we go right to the dead bug. Well, before dead bug, you have to make sure that you can slide your heels out without your pelvis moving. You have to make sure you can move one arm and then the other without the trunk and the rib cage moving, right? And so that's where I see people getting into only using the rectus abdominis, that front, that six-pack muscle where we put a lot of then pressure and tension through that linea alba, which causes that diastasis a little bit, right? And when we're only putting forward pressure, well, then what's going to happen is I'm going to get into my back a little bit as well then, right? I'm not dispersing that pressure wide. I'm not using that transverse abdominis, that pelvic floor, that diaphragm anymore. I'm just putting pressure into one area. And that's what can cause sometimes a lot of discomfort or back pain when you're doing these exercises.
Yeah, and that's a great way to, I feel like that's a great way to sometimes lose an athlete and then humble an athlete as like a trainer or a PT when you tell them like, okay, I get that you can do planks with one hand and one foot and all of this different.
Or all the weight on your back.
You know, all this weight on your back and all this crazy stuff. I think that might be part of the reason that you're having back pain. And that you tell them that you don't tell them, you shouldn't tell them this, but you tell them that they have a weak core in some version of how you deliver that to them or the other, like your core coordination or whatever might be the reason that you're putting too much pressure in a certain area. And they almost get offended, like, oh, you're saying I have a weak core? Like, no, you're very strong, actually. You just struggle to coordinate that and struggle to have the motor control to understand how to activate all that. Like, I have a degree of that diastasis or diastasis recti of separating because for so long I was just using the crap out of my rectus abdominis, the six-pack version of the abs, rather than getting into that deep stuff. But it's when you go back to the basic core one exercises and focus on that really deep activation, and your body starts shaking like you don't know what's going on. That is the case. Your body doesn't really know what's going on. You've never really coordinated your muscles in this way. And it's been like almost a year, 2 years, 3 years of me really working on this stuff to get into the point where now I'm walking around and I'm finding that I just hold my core in a different way.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And humbling yourself enough to say, okay, I'm strong. Like, no one is saying you're not strong if you go back into, like, let's look at the fundamentals. It's just that we're going to, like Dom said, coordinate it in a different way. And you'll find that when you dial things back a little bit, or what you feel like is dialing it back, and change your positioning just a little bit, you might lose hip popping. So you might not have hip popping anymore, which we talked a lot about in episode 50 of the Optimal Body Podcast. So especially like mountain climbers, bird dogs, stuff like that. If you feel like you're hearing this popping in your hip, well, there's a coordination aspect that's happening there. And as well, you know, when you're going back into these, just getting back into the fundamentals, you'll notice maybe that you don't turn on those hip flexors quite as much, and you don't feel thigh burning. A lot of people feel thigh burning when we're not coordinating into that deeper layer of that core in that trunk. And again, this is just meaning like I am aware of all levels of my core and then can use it in stabilization and in movement. And when you can gain that awareness, like, you're going to feel so just more confident in any kind of movement or strength training program that you do. I hope that helped to just give you some tools to really understand what you can do better to help prevent that back pain, but still really work on your core and work on those abs and do the things that you want to do. That is what we want you to do, right? Is we want you to move. We want you to feel empowered to move and not be afraid of movement. Now, if you want to continue listening to these podcasts, because we're going to have so much more information about pains, about diagnoses, and with incredible guests, please subscribe to the Optimal Body Podcast wherever you love listening. And don't forget, it really helps so other people can continue to learn. If you just leave us a little rate and review, we so appreciate it. Hope to see you on the next one.